God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, noting that Christ is our Good Shepherd. As our gospel reading for today notes, our stained glass that is so prominent in our chancel area picks up that theme as Christ as our Good Shepherd. But what happens in our life if it doesn't seem that the Good Shepherd is leading us down the path that we would typically enjoy? What happens when sort of bad things happen in our lives or other types of discomforts? What happens when bad news comes? Is Christ still then the Good Shepherd, or does he then become the bad shepherd? Too often, by our own feelings, we sort of superimpose the path that Christ leads us down. And basically, so if we think that the path is rocky or the path is bad, we then say this of our leader, our Good Shepherd, and saying, maybe he isn't the Good Shepherd. Well, for today, as we take a look at our gospel reading, we hopefully will note that Christ is the Good Shepherd by what he has already done and accomplished. Fair enough, there are going to be rocks, there's going to be pits, there's going to be holes, and the Good Shepherd is going to try to lead us beyond those. But at the same time, we live in a life filled with sin. The perfect life will come in heaven above. Until that time, our Good Shepherd does indeed lead us. So Christ says he is the Good Shepherd, and that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I will admit, in scriptures, especially in the gospel, we have Jesus speaking in parables. And is this a parable? And the answer is no. Parables are typically stories with sort of a heavenly meaning to teach us more about the kingdom of God. Here is not a parable. For a better way of describing this, as our text, maybe a little before our text, describes it as a figure of speech. That would be somewhat of another way of describing it, or maybe even that of a metaphor. But Jesus is sort of acting in that role. He is the Good Shepherd. And because he is the Good Shepherd, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. Now, what does it really mean for one to be a good shepherd? Jesus, when he says, I am the good shepherd, to bring out what the Greek really means in the statement, we must see a little bit more what goes into these words. Here's one way of doing it, that the shepherd that Jesus is speaking about is unique. Or maybe a better way of describing this is, Jesus is a shepherd in which no other human being can even approach. And with this type of phrase, I want you to think in the back of your mind, Jesus isn't one of many shepherds. There's only one shepherd. Anyone else is, quote unquote, a false shepherd. Now, as we're talking about shepherding, sometimes people will ask me, what's my preferred title? And some of you may have known that after being here for 13 years, I prefer the title of pastor, which sort of denotes a little bit of that shepherding theme. However, I am not your shepherd. Christ is your shepherd. If I had to pick up that term shepherd, I'd be sort of an under-shepherd. A shepherd who reports to Christ, following his command, his way, his teaching, in order to lead this particular flock here at Trinity in West Chicago. So needless to say, I'm not trying to usurp my authority. My authority comes from Christ as an under-shepherd. It is Christ himself who is the shepherd. Jesus makes the idea that him being the good shepherd is unique and special. No one can come close to it. Why? Because the good shepherd does something that no other person does. He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, before you might be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor. There are other people who are willing to make sacrifices. And sometimes those sacrifices even require that person to give up their life. Throughout the church, we would call these people martyrs. And fair enough, and it's not just people in the church who are martyrs who give up their life. Sometimes it might even be parents for the sake of their little ones. Sometimes it might be friends, or it might be just a very caring individual is willing to sacrifice their life. But Christ, being the good shepherd, does something which no other human being can do in this area. Not only does he give up his life when he goes to the cross on Good Friday, but let us not forget Easter. He takes up his life again. This is something that no one can do. Death strikes us as human beings, and it's permanent. But because of the Good Shepherd, because here is the shepherd who can die and rise again, all the sheep belonging to his flock also will die and rise again and have life, eternal life. So when Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, it is completely different and unique than any other shepherd, because no one else can die and rise again without the authority of the good shepherd. But as we live in this world, we note that not all parts of our life are good. And if the shepherd is leading us, sometimes people would want to start jumping to the conclusion that if he is the good shepherd and he is leading the church should always be prosperous. The pews should be filled. The treasurer should be very happy. The answer to that is no, we live in a world of sin. But sometimes people then will point to the good shepherd and saying, why isn't the good shepherd doing a good enough job leading us? Or they might point to the under shepherd. But we really need to look at ourselves and the sin that is in this world. The good shepherd never says that we're never going to have to struggle with flu, that we'll never have to struggle with an economic crisis, but yet he is still a good shepherd because of what he did upon the cross. It is his death, his resurrection, that sets him apart as different. And so here's the catch point. If we truly believe that the good shepherd is only good when he is leading us in good pastures, in a good life, we are really denying that he is the good shepherd. If we deny the good shepherd, we deny the cross. Even in the midst of our struggles, even in the midst of adversity, the good shepherd is always and still is the good shepherd, because of what he has done. And no one can take that away from him. No one can undo the cross. No one can undo the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one who has defeated sin, death, and the devil. Now, I will admit, in our gospel reading for today, there is sort of a little bit of a connecting point here to sin, death, and the devil. The devil would obviously be considered the wolf, the one who comes to try to do what? To devour the flock? To scatter the flock? And then you also have the hired men. Now, please don't assume that the hired men are pastors and teachers and workers in the church. No, because of the description of what the gospel says. These are people who do not care for the sheep. Even though they're not their sheep, they're the shepherd's sheep. But still, the under-shepherd and those who support the office of the public ministry truly do care for the spiritual concerns of the sheep. So needless to say, the hired man here in our text, as he is sort of being picked on, is not the professional church worker. But for those people who claim to be without that call of God, without that spiritual concern for the sheep, those are the hired people. Our text clearly notes that when one is proclaiming Christ and Christ crucified, he is doing the work of the shepherd, being the good under-shepherd, or those who support the under-shepherd. And the church needs people to proclaim that word of God, because without that word of God being proclaimed, how are the sheep going to hear the shepherd? Think about it for a moment. How many of you diligently open up your Bible every single day and read for a half an hour? How many of you diligently read and pray the Psalms? How many of you diligently read and study theology? No, we need to be fed. We need to be fed with the words of God. So God comes to us through that word, through that sacrament, to nurture the sheep. Yes, we need the under-shepherd. We need teachers. We need deaconesses. We need directors of evangelism. We need other professional church workers to get that message out. These aren't the hired people, but people who serve the shepherd. These are the under-shepherds, so to speak. And Christ gives them to us. Because as sheep, we need to realize that we need to be led. It's not enough for us just to sit there and take our Bible and our Luther's Small Catechism after confirmation is done and go home and say, now I will just do church by myself. That isn't what our text implies. Our text implies a gathering of the sheep. Why do we gather here at Trinity? To hear the shepherd, to be connected to the shepherd. So we gather here to hear God's word, to receive that sacrament, because we understand that the shepherd is the one who gives life. He is the one who laid down his life. He is the one who has taken up his life. And that the flock that belongs to him also has life. So we come here, again, to receive God's grace and mercy. We come here to be fed. We come here to be led in life, as the good shepherd will lead us through. And fair enough, our life is filled with many thorns, many pit holes or potholes, however you want to describe it, many complications and many pains. But do not fear, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because through the midst of these pains and struggles, we know the good shepherd is the good shepherd, because he is the one who lays down his life and takes it up again. He is the one who died on Good Friday and rose again. He is the one who defeated sin, death, and the devil. The wolf is ultimately destroyed. But until the Lord calls us again to be with him in heaven above, in that final resurrection, the wolf is still among us. And so the Lord places under-shepherds to lead us so that we will continue to follow the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.